Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The intimate concern of the apostles' ministering life. This is what we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and it's our second program on this important topic today on the life study from 2 Corinthians. This is Matt Miller filling in for Chris Wilde, and with me today is Bob Danker. Bob, I'm glad you're here with me.
It's good to be here, Matt. And this, as you say, is a marvelous portion in 2 Corinthians. It seems that there's no deep teachings or doctrines in this portion, chapter 7, verses 8 and beyond, but there's something very critical here we have to pay our attention related to the ministering life, the life of a minister of Christ.
Bob, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and you referred to verse 8, so I'm going to read that because I think that's what most Bible teachers refer to when they think of chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. It says, "For though I caused you sorrow by the letter," and that's 1 Corinthians, "I do not regret it. Even if I did regret it, for I see that letter, even if for an hour, caused you sorrow." So this is an important verse because it describes in the 1 Corinthians how he spoke a strong word in chapter 5, especially causing them regret for this fornicator there, and that eventually the person repented. And you see that through the regret in especially revealed here in chapter 7, verse 8. But that's not all that's here, is it?
No, there's much more here, Matt. Actually, you refer to the first epistle to the Corinthians. Paul wrote this epistle to attempt to help these immature, I would say immature, Corinthian believers to grow in life. His main concern was that after so many years, they had not grown. And because of that, they had myriads of problems, and he addressed many of these problems in 1 Corinthians. One of these problems we know in chapter 5. There was a brother in that church who committed a gross sin. And the Corinthian believers didn't have much regret or remorse over it. So Paul wrote them that epistle, and one of the things that he dealt with was this sinning brother. He told them to temporarily remove that brother from the fellowship of the church until he had a repentance. And now in his second epistle, he writes again to them, and we can see that his first epistle did have a strong effect on them. It caused them to be sorrowful, not in a negative way, but in a very positive way.
Right.
Sorrow that led to repentance and then to salvation. And it turns out that the sinning brother repented. And not only that, though, the Corinthian, the whole church in Corinth, had a great turn. Actually, if we read 2 Corinthians, we can realize that there were at least 2 problems in Corinth. The first problem was that because of the influence of the Judaizers, the false apostles, the feeling of the Corinthians toward Paul and his co-workers had been cooled down.
Right.
Very much. Actually, Paul was the one who raised up the church there. He preached the gospel, and many of them were saved through Paul and his co-workers. So he was their spiritual father. Even in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, he told them, "You may have 10,000 teachers, but you have only one father." And who is that father? Of course, that father is Paul. Paul was their spiritual father. Yet, because of the influence of the Judaizing believers, the ones who preached the law of Moses and tried to get the believers to go back to the law, their feeling toward Paul had been cooled down considerably. And the second major problem was that the Corinthians were far from God. They needed to be reconciled. They needed to be brought back to God. And so Paul, in writing that first epistle and in dealing with them, was addressing these 2 problems. He was trying his best to recover their intimacy with him as their father in the faith, Father in Christ. And he was trying to reconcile them to God. And we can see this in chapter 6 especially. He deals with their feeling toward him. He says, "You have been constricted in your feelings toward us, but our heart is wide open to you." You know, this shows that their feeling for the apostle had been damaged. And second of all, he said, "Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, but be separated." This was to reconcile them back to God. So as we come now into chapter 7, Paul continues to show how it was, in what way he spoke to these Corinthians, and what a strong impact his ministering had on them to actually cause them to come back to God, to be reconciled to God, and also to have their feelings for him, the apostle and their spiritual father, restored.
This is critical, Bob. We're going to go to the life study here in a minute, but I'd like to read verse 12 from chapter 7 because I think it's crucial to understand this point. And for the listeners today, I hope they'll stay with us because this is a real window into the Apostle Paul's intimate concern, exposing the ministering life of an apostle, how he could have this kind of concern and how important the relationship of the believers is with the apostle. And just to underscore what you said, verse 12 says, "So then, though I wrote to you," that was 1 Corinthians, "it was not for the sake of him who did the wrong, the sinner, as described earlier by you in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, nor for the sake of him who was wronged, the one he offended, but for the sake of manifesting to you before God your earnestness for us, the apostles." How important their relationship was with the apostles.
That's right, Matt. It was critical because it was through the apostles that the believers received the life supply by which they could grow in life and be built up together to be the body of Christ. This is really the central issue here.
Well, let's go on to the life study with Witness Lee as he talks about this intimate concern, the tender care of the Apostle Paul to care for the believers.
This chapter is still on the ministry of reconciliation. With Apostle Paul, it is a kind of intimate concern, a kind of tender, deep, very affectionate concern. Have you noticed how many times in this one verse, verse 8, even if, how many times? Three times, right? Paul, he puts in "even if" three times to soften his word. With this "even if" three times, the hard word is softened. Not only so, if you take away the three times of "even if," he is here in this verse strongly vindicating himself, strongly arguing for himself. Probably the first one in using such an expression, "even if," was the Apostle Paul. "Even if I wrote to you, even if I made you, even if I caused you sorrow by the first epistle." You see, this kind of word with "even if" added becomes not only softened, but sweet. So Paul was not only so wise, he was so tender. Once you have the intimate concern, you are tender. You are tender. Sometimes in answering a hasty question, you know, the hasty question mostly comes out of anger. What's wrong with it? Nothing wrong with it. My goodness, you just tear up the anger. You need to add quite a few different phrases to "nothing wrong with you." I would imagine if your wife is mad with you and said to you, "What's wrong with it?" You better say, "Well, dear, let me tell you in love. Somewhat seems to me, see, I would say there's nothing wrong. You see, when you see this way, you slow her down, and you soft her anger, and even you sweeten her. This is Paul's way.
This is Paul's way. I think this is a really good example with a husband and a wife not reacting too quickly and responding with tender care. This is really how the apostle took care of the Corinthians. Isn't this a good example, Bob?
Yes, it is, Matt. Actually, you know, this kind of situation, the Corinthians were clearly in a wrong condition.
Mm-hmm.
And the apostle was fully in the right condition. He was right, they were wrong. And he was doing his best to help them, to bring them back to God, and to bring them back to the proper relationship with himself. If he had pointed out their wrong situation in a harsh, condemning, bitter, rough way, then probably, even though he was right and they were wrong, they would not have been touched in their feeling. The effect would not have been produced. Paul would not have gained what he intended to gain if he had spoken to them in a firm, hard, strong way.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to sweeten and to soften his words, he added words such as, even if. Actually, in the recovery version, it says, though I caused you sorrow by the letter. But in the Greek, it's even if. The same words, even if. Even if I caused you sorrow by the letter, I do not regret it. It seems that Paul is telling them, I may have caused you sorrow, but I don't regret it. That seems to be kind of a strong word.
Mm-hmm.
But then he goes on, even if I did regret it. So that means he did have some little amount of regret. Then he goes on, for I see that that letter, even if for an hour, caused you sorrow. So their sorrow, which was caused by his letter, was short-lived, because that sorrow caused them to repent and to be saved. So that restored them and caused them again to be happy. So Paul is speaking in such a way that he's frank, he's honest, and he's bold with them. On the other hand, he's very tender and very soft, so that they would receive his words and so that God would have a chance to work in them through his words to produce the sorrow that would lead them to repentance and salvation.
I think that's clear, Bob. Why don't we go on to our next portion with Witness Lee?
In this chapter, no theology, no ethics, no religion, even I would say, no spirituality. What is here? If we don't have any experience, we just couldn't say what is here. What Paul taught here is not theology. It's not any doctrine for redemption. It's not any doctrine for justification. No, no. It's not anything concerning ethics, morality. No. It's not anything for religion, for spirituality, even for victory. No. It's altogether a matter concerning his intimate and tender concern. What a tender concern. What an intimate concern. What a concern that is so sweet and so touching. This surely will work out a lot. This kind of a tender and intimate concern works a lot. It has the impact. It has the power. It touches. Paul was trying to speak the truth, to speak the fact. So it's hard for him to avoid the condemnation on the wrong Corinthians. So his tender concern caused him to use this kind of softening words. If I were a Corinthian, in reading this, I would have a last feeling of shamefulness. My, how shame that I even was misled. I even was distracted by the Jude elders to lose my earnest care toward the apostle through whom I got saved. You see, now his letter brought back that earnestness. Even his letter brought me back to God, reconciled me to God. So there is a kind of a tender feeling presented to the receivers of this epistle. This is the earnestness, that is, the earnest care toward the apostle.
Bob, this earnest care toward the apostle is directly referring to verse 12 in chapter 7 that I read at the beginning of the program, and I think this is a window into the real situation between the believers in Corinth and how critical their relationship was to the apostles.
That's right, Matt. Their relationship with the apostles was critical for their growing in Christ, for their being built up together in the body, for their fulfilling God's economy, reaching the goal of their salvation. So Paul was trying to touch their inner feeling. He was not only pointing out to them where they were wrong according to the facts of the situation.
Right.
If he had done that, then he would have run the risk of condemning them, of making them feel that he was condemning them by pointing out their wrong situation. So to avoid this and to help them to receive his word, though it was bold and frank and honest, he softened his speaking so that their inner feeling could be touched and they could realize that he was deeply, tenderly, and intimately concerned for them. He had no intention to condemn them. He really had only the intention to reconcile them back to God. His interest, his concern was genuine for their progress and their growth. He was not trying to put them down, condemn them in any way, just to expose their wrong situation. So he softened his tone, and this came out of his tender inward feeling toward them. This is a tremendous example for us that when we shepherd others, we care for others in the Lord. We need to not only know the truth or the real situation that they are in, but we need to have such a heart of intimacy and concern toward them. And that will be manifested in the way that we speak to them. And that will in turn be manifested in the impact our words have on them. You know, if we are harsh, condemning, our words will have little impact. If we are tender, like the apostle, then our words would be powerful to cause them to have a change, a turn, a repentance. This is a tremendous pattern.
And precious few are those patterns like the apostle Paul.
That's right.
That will be tender in their care and not just harsh and condemning.
Right.
How often do we see the opposite of that true? And it's sad.
Yes.
Well, let's go on, Bob, for our final portion today with Witness Lee, and we'll come back for a concluding word.
Verse 11 says, in everything you commend yourself to be pure in the matter. Verse 8 is full of softening element. Verse 11 is full of wisdom. To my opinion, this verse is Paul's best composition. It's hard for any language to translate this verse with the proper expression as Paul did in Greek. What earnestness, moreover, what defense, moreover, what indignation, moreover, what fear, moreover, what longing, moreover, what zeal, moreover, what avenging. You could see just these seven short expressions present a full, complete picture of the condition and the situation among the Corinthian believers there. This is Paul's tender wisdom. No roughness here. No toughness. No hardness. Just so fine, so tender, so softened, and so sweet. Full of the expression and the feeling of intimate concern. No offending. Just mending. Just healing. Just cure. Healing all the wounds. This is the ministering life. This is the ministering life. Just learn to preach the gospel. Just learn to teach theology. Just learn to teach so many doctrines. It won't work. Paul, of course, was one of the top gospel preachers. He was the greatest theologian. But here, in this one chapter, he doesn't use anything like that. He only exercises his intimate and tender concern with the Lord we serve.
Bob, at the end of our program today, I just have a greater appreciation for the Apostle Paul and his pattern for us. No offending, just mending. This is the ministry of a tender, concerned apostle.
That's right. What a beautiful picture this is for us. You know, Paul was mature in life. He has the full knowledge of the truth. He knows the real situation among the Corinthians and where they are wrong, where they need to be adjusted, all these things. And yet, the way he speaks to them indicates that he was full of feeling for them inwardly. He had the tender, intimate concern. I believe this must have been the tender feeling of Christ, Christ himself. In Philippians, Paul said that he longed after the Philippian believers in the inward parts of Christ Jesus. This means that Paul and Christ were just one, so that Christ's tender inward feelings for the believers became Paul's inward feelings, and Christ's wisdom became Paul's wisdom. And so Paul could relate to these believers in the ministry of reconciliation, in the ministering life, in such a sweet, intimate, healing, mending way, without offending them, but helping them in every way to be reconciled to God, and even to have their earnest feeling toward himself, Paul, restored. This was a tremendous pattern for us, and it was a great restoration that enabled the Corinthians to go on, to grow in Christ, to be built up together in the body. It's the kind of ministering life that is desperately needed in the church today.
And this ministering life, in a sense, is the practical carrying out of so many other verses where the Apostle Paul said in the New Testament, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. The great mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul talked about those verses in Colossians 1:27 or Galatians 2:20, but here in 2 Corinthians 7, you really see the practical carrying out of Christ living through the Apostle Paul in such a ministering life.
And that, I think, is really the key here. It is just Christ himself living and ministering in and through the Apostle.
Well, Bob, I really enjoyed the time with you today. Thanks for being here.
It's a wonderful opportunity and pleasure, Matt.
And we thank you also for joining us. And if you'd like to get a printed copy of what you heard today, you can call us at 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Or you can write to Living Stream Ministry, P.O. Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. Or you can send email to radio@lsm.org. On behalf of Bob Danker, this is Matt Miller. Thank you for listening today.
In both the first and last book of the Bible, God presents himself to man as the tree of life. Throughout the Bible, God is portrayed as food for man to eat and life for for man to enjoy. In The Tree of Life, Witness Lee presents a view of God's heart that is little understood and seldom experienced by Christians today, revealing that it is God's desire that we receive Christ, experience Christ, and enjoy Christ as our moment-by-moment supply. The Tree of Life from Living Stream Ministry is available at Christian bookstores everywhere, or you can order by calling 1-888-543-3788.